So, after the Gemaras and the Yerushalmi, the Rishonim, so we are left with a lot of confusion regarding what to do with Paspalter, how does Paspalter apply, when does it not apply. So what we want to do in the first part is just go through the Gemara very quickly and the Yerushalmi very quickly, clarify what they are and what they're not saying, and then we're just going to lay out the Shitas Rishonim because they seem to mix together, they seem to be very similar, what are the differences, and then we will bring everything Halacha L'maisa. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah says, L'amid Hei Amid Beis, that there was some uncertainty when it came to Pas Akum, whether it was ever permitted or not. And there seems to be uncertainty what was regarding Shitas Rebbe, what did Rebbe hold, and maybe the students of Rebbe were mistaken regarding what they held. And then we had the Shita of Rav Chelbo, who said that Rebbe only allowed Pas Palter to have the bread of a baker when there are no Jewish bakers available at all. And then the Shita of Rav Yochan, who thinks that Pas Nachri is allowed when you are in the Sada, when you're in the field away from the city. Now, the Ran thinks that Rav Chelbo is simply adding on to Rav Yochanan, meaning that in the Sada, you can always have Pas Palter of a guy. When you're in the Sada, you can always have Pas Palter of a guy without a Shaila. And in the city, it's only if there's no Pas Yisrael. He's coming to add on and to say that even in the Sada. That's the Shita of the Ran. The Rambam in Machalos Asuras and Perikud Zion, so he seems to know there's a machlokas between Rav Chelbo and Yochanan. They're not building on top of another. And the halacha is that paspalter is only allowed besada. That seems to be the shita of the Rambam in understanding the Gemara. That's how we come out with the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. There is a Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi is in the second parak, as we saw. And there, it's a very, the Yerushalmi has a very funny ending because we don't really expect the Yerushalmi to end the way that it does. It says that originally there was a gzeira in place, that there was no Pas Yisrael, and everything was Asar. However, they had to remove the gzeira because it was Chaye Nefesh, says the Gemara. You need to have bread. Bread is the staff of life. How could you simply remove all chances to have a nice loaf of bread? And the rabbis in Caesarea said the only time it would be allowed is when it came from a palter, and not from a balabais. That is what the Rabbanim in Caesarea said. Now, what does that mean? So there's two shitas in Rishonim. The Meiri here in Avodah Zarah, the Ra'ah, and the Berak Habayis, right? We all know the history of the Berak Habayis. First there was the Torah Habayis, the Rashba, and then the Ra'ah, who's the Chavrusa of the Rashba, wrote the Berak Habayis because he thought that the house needed a little bit of cleaning because there were some issues with the house. And the Rashba wrote Mishmeres Habayis, where the Rashba said back to the Ra'ah, no, the house is just fine. I don't need your house, I don't need your help. And this is the back and forth between the Rashba, the Ra'ah, and then the Rashba again. So the Ra'ah says, and also the tour, that the baker is concerned about making a living, and he doesn't care about being your friend. So that's one reason behind the Heter of Paspalter. The baker does not want to be your friend. He wants your money, and therefore he's not going to socialize with you, and therefore that's why it's okay to have the bread of a baker, the bread of a palter. The Beis Yosef cites the Rashba, who says that when a baker makes bread, it was for any customer and with no one specific in mind. So that's a second mahalach to explain the heter regarding pas palter. It has nothing to do with business, it's just he's not thinking about you. He's making it for everyone. Whoever comes and buys the bread is sufficient. And because, therefore, there's no kirav hadas, there's no closeness between you and the baker. Now, in the Torah Habayis HaKatzar, the Rashba brings both shitas. So we can't really say that one is the reason of the Rashba and one is not the reason of the Rashba. But these are the two mahalchim in the Rishonim to explain the heter of pas palter. What's the conclusion of the Yerushalmi? So the conclusion of the Yerushalmi is very bewildering. It concludes that this was not the minhag. Well, what was not the minhag? So we'll start with the interesting approach first. The Rash Cirilio, which is not in the Yerushalmis that we had. It's only published in the Ozo Hadar Yerushalmi. So the Rash Cirilio says that they were machmer to not even eat pas palter. It was not the minhag l'chumra. They were very frum. They didn't even eat pas palter. Now, as you know, this is clearly not the shita of the rest of the Rishonim. All the rest of the Mefarshim say that they even ate pas nachri of a balabais. So the minhag was lehefech the other way. The minhag was to be totally mekel. And what we have is a Yerushalmi that is not how the Shulchan Aruch seems to look. So we need to explain now, how do we get from the Yerushalmi to the Shulchan Aruch? So there are, from what I count, I think there are five shitos in the Rishonim. disagree with me. I think there are five shitas in the Rishonim to explain how we come out lemaisa. The first shita is the Rif. The Rif says that the Yerushalmi is the halacha, and that all passes mutter because the gzeira was never accepted. They never accepted the gzeira, and therefore all bread is mutter, and this whole Gemara and Marazara and Yerushalmi is just not halacha lemaisa, and you can have whatever bread that you want. This also seems to be an understanding of Tosos here. Tosos says the gzeira never spread. He doesn't say what that means lemaisa, but Tosos just says that the gzeira never spread, and it was never accepted. The Ramban also states that the gzeira never spread, but the Ramban qualifies it and says they still needed a base din to go and qualify the ruling. You can't just come and say that, the Jewish people don't like this, and therefore there's no halacha doesn't apply. The Ramban says you still need to have a beis din come and put a stamp on not accepting the gzeir. So that's approach number one, that pass, the whole gzeir of pass was never accepted from the Rif. The second shita in the Rishonim is the Ran. The Ran has a different approach, and he says that the Bavli and the Yerushalmi agree that the gzeira was removed for only pas palter. Only pas palter they didn't accept, but everyone agrees that pas palabayas is aser. This is the sheet of the Ran, and this is also the sheet of the Mordechai as well, which is not our sheet, because we know that there is an Indian to be makbid on pas palter, but this is sheet number two, that pas palabatim was aser, and pas palter was always accepted. The third shita is the Rambam. The Rambam in his Perush Mishnayos says the Bavli doesn't allow Pasakum, and the Gzeir was never Batal. This is the Rambam in the Perush Mishnayos, and Simin Halacha Lamais. And therefore, according to the Rambam, the Halacha comes out that the Gzeira of Pasakum still stands, but there are certain leniencies. This is the approach of the Rambam, that the Gzeira exists, but there are certain leniencies when needed, that one can be lenient when it comes to the bread of a guy. And this is repeated again in Hilchos Machal Yasuros in Perek Yud Zayim. Shita number four, yeah.
But the Rambam makes the same chiluk between palter, and Rambam Machal Yasuros makes the same chiluk between palter.
So if you look in the Perush Mishnayos, what he's saying is that yes, there are chilukim by palter, but it's not that the gzeira just, you know, poof, went away. The gzeira is still there, but there are holes in the gzeira. Okay? I mean, yes, we still are going to be lenient in certain areas, but it's not that we just, like the Ran who said there's no gzeira, the gzeira is there, but there are leniencies along with it. The Rashba in the Taras Abayas in Shar Gimel says that pas balabayas is aser, and that pas palter is only allowed when you're traveling or there's no pas yisrael available. And pas balabayas is allowed only if it's sakaras nefashos, which is not such a chiddush. It's a din d'rabbanan, so certainly if you're in danger and all you have to eat is bread baked by a goy in their house, certainly you'd be allowed to eat it. The Rashba is much, I would say, much similar to the Rambam, but just the way they get there is slightly different. The last sheet, yeah.
What's the difference in the way the Rashba and Rambam
he thinks that I'd say that the Rashba said that pas balabayas is usser. That's the gzeir that's usser, and then there are certain exceptions to the rule. I don't know. Maybe you're right. Maybe the Rambam and the Rashba are the same. It's just the way they phrased it was differently. Agree? Disagree? I don't know. What would we say? I don't know, just the way they phrased it made it seem like they were getting it different. I'm not sure. We'll have to revisit it. Okay. And the last most lenient shita is that of the Mordechai. The Mordechai cite, not the Mordechai himself, but he cites Rabbeinu Shmaryahu, who says that pas balabayas is mutter when traveling. There's no shaila by pas balabayas. It's mutter when traveling, because it's no different than demai. The third parak of demai says, and the Mishnayos say, that an achsanai is allowed to have demai, which is asur midrabbanan. And says Rabbeinu Shmaryahu, why would be more machmir than a Mishnah, which is also talking about something that's asur midrabbanan. So if you're traveling, you're on a business trip, and all you have there is some guy's bread that they baked in their house, so that should be fine. No different than any other iser derabbanan. This is also the opinion of the Shuvas Ma'aril in Simen Kuf Nun Zayin, and it's also the opinion of the Orach HaSchaim Hilchos Machalos Asuros, citing the Ra'ah and the Berak HaBayis as well, that pas balabayis is mutter when you are baderach, when you're traveling and you have nothing else. Those are the four or five shitas in the Rishonim. How do we come out lemaisim the Shulchan Aruch? So we have the Shulchan Aruch here in Kuf Yud Beis Beis. The Shulchan Aruch says, seemingly quoting the Rambam and perhaps also the Rashba, that one should only eat paspalter b'shas hadchak. And the Aruch HaShulchan understands as follows, that within the Rishonim and in the Gemara, there's no difference between paspalter and paspalabayis. And therefore, the Aruch HaShulchan says that both should not be used equally. The Aruch HaShulchan feels that mi'ikar hadin, one should be machmer to not have paspalter. Not many of the other achronim hold like the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan holds like the Mechaber that mi'ikar hadin, one should be machmer for paspalter, and there's no difference. It's either it's all us or it's all mutter. In this case, it's all usser. And he says that was the minhag around him to be machmer. However, we all have seen the Ramah. The Ramah says that even in a place where there's pas Yisrael, so you're allowed to have pas palter. The Levush explains in Kuf Yud Beis Gimel that because the Gezerah never spread, so therefore there's no reason to be machmer. And this is the understanding of the Ramah. No reason to be machmer. And the Shach famously says over here that one should be careful to avoid paspalter when possible. And if you can, as long as there's paspalter, as long as the paspalter is not that much greater than the pas Yisrael, one should be machmer to always have paspalter when possible. The Chachmas Adam says, Kol Bali Nefesh Roy Lizayr, when it comes to pas Yisrael as well. And Rav Osner in the Kovetz Mibes Levi regarding Inyani Yodea on page Mem Vav says that the Arizal was careful to never eat pas palter as well. So we have many of the Gedolei Achronim telling us to be machmer, and the Kaf HaChaim, Misif Katan Laman Aleph, says he doesn't even buy from Jewish bakers. That's how machmer he was. He only made his own bread because even the Jewish bakers are not frum enough for him, and he only ate bread at home. This was the shita of the Kaf HaChaim, and Rav Shachter also feels that when possible, and it's not so much of a tircha, one should certainly have pas Yisrael over pas palter. The Knesset HaGadol in Kuf Yud Beis Yud Aleph says that a good example of what does it mean to be shas hadchak, right? He says, b'shas hadchak, so you should make sure to have, if there's no shas hadchak, so you should be sure to have pas Yisrael, and b'shas hadchak, you should have pas palter. So he says that if there would not be enough bread, let's say there was let's say we're in Russia during, you know, communism, and they had these bread lines, and there wouldn't be enough bread for everyone. So if you only go to the Jewish baker, so they're going to run out of bread. So in that case, if there's not enough bread for everyone, that's considered a shas hadchak, where you could go to the pas palter. Yeah.
Well, if you live in a town away from New York, and there's no
pas Yisrael
around.
So that could be considered shas hadchak. Yeah, 100%. Okay, let's discuss one nafka mina that's discussed in the Achronim. What if the baker makes a special order of bread just for you? Okay, he said, I want very special bread in this style, to the shape, whatever it is, or a cake, something like that, a specially made order of cake just for you. So will we call that pas palter, or will we call that pas palabais? So what are the different sides? Yeah.
Does the baker ordinarily do special orders?
So if he makes special orders for everyone, so then he's not doing anything special. That's part of business. But if he normally wouldn't do it for everyone, but he'd do it for you, then maybe there's a tzad to say that would be pas palabais, because there's, according to the reasons, there's a kir of hadas. At least according to the second sheet of the Rashba, there's a kir of hadas, and perhaps that would be turned into pas palabais. The Chalkos Binyamin Sukkotim Chavtes discusses all the different sadim. The minhag is probably to be lenient in this area. You can go to the bakery and make a special order, because most bakers make special orders. Okay, what if the baker wants you to serve his bread? Wants to serve his bread in his house? This is the next issue in the Shulchan Aruch. So he says that if the owner of the bakery gives you bread in his home, so it's like pas palabais, right? He made a cake in his store, and then he serves you a piece of cake in his house. So he says, because it's kir hadas, you're going to connect to him. And the Vilna Gaon, so he writes in Sif Katan Yud. The Gra writes in Sif Katan Yud that this is based on the machlokes in the Rashba and the Ra'ah. And so, is pas palter a heter of chefza, or is it a heter in the maisa? That's the lumdus. So the Rashba holds that the bread is baked, it receives a designation of being asr mutter. It's in the chefza. And the Ra'ah holds that the status of the bread depends where you are at the time of when you eat it. This is going to be the nafkamina, whether you eat it in the home. So the Shach and Sif Katz and Yud Beis
He quotes the Ra'ah, who says that if you follow the status of the bread at the time when you're eating it, and he says that the Rashba holds that it depends on when you bake it. So, but in Siv Zayin later on, so there, when it talks about Pas Balabayas, Asur La'olam, Afilu Kinnag, Paltra Mimenu, Afilu Shalchal Yisrael Leveso, this whole discussion about later on, so there, it seems that we found that there's an Isser Chavtza, not an Isser in the Maisa. So we seem to have a Stira. So some suggest that's why the Mechaber in Siv Ches brings out a Yesh Misha Omer. He brings it as there are those who say, because it's not the Iker Shita, it's not the main Shita, that it should be a an issue in the Maisa. Another nafkamina in this area would be, let's say the guy invites you over to his house to eat bakery bread. Right? Let's say a Stam guy invites you to his house to eat bakery bread. What would we say there? So if it's in the Maisa, so then that would be Asar. But if it's in the Chafsa, according to the Rashba, it would be Mutar. I feel we should probably be Machmer in that regard. If your Goyish neighbor invites you over to have bakery bread, you should probably avoid it. Next, let's say we have a very confusing comment of the Shulchan Aruch over here. Does everybody see Sif Dalad? Yes? Saw Sif Dalad? So Sif Dalad is very confusing, which really just the Shach is confusing, because the Shach had a bad girsa, and therefore it really made everybody else confused. The Shulchan Aruch said, Makum she'en paltzo Yisrael motzi ledas ha-matirim, if there's no pas Yisrael, according to the matirim, so in the Shach's girsa, it says, lakach pas paltzer, Goy, imigiyashim sham paltu Yisrael, hare pas paltu goy, asura, achiyim kor paltu Yisrael pito. So the Shach said if you live in a location where there's no paltu Yisrael, and you had to buy from a guy, and then they had a shipment of pas Yisrael, so all the pas paltu you bought beforehand is usur to eat until you finish the pas Yisrael, and then you can eat the pas paltu. And the Shach asks on the Shulchan Aruch, why does that make any sense? If I bought it when it was behetzer, it was pas paltzer, it was fine because there was no pas Yisrael, so why can't I eat it now? The whole thing makes no sense. What? There's the isser of the chepz is going to flip back and forth. Sometimes it's going to be usser, and sometimes it's going to be mutter. Where do we find something like that? So the answer, says the Shach's son in the Nekudas HaKesef, is that the Shach had a bad girsa, and it should be liyakach, meaning if you have a place where there's pas paltzer, and it's then Pas Yisrael comes in, you can't buy any more from the palter, from the guy, until the Pas Yisrael runs out, and then you can continue to buy. But any bread you've already bought is still going to remain mutter after the fact. This is clear from the Pri Chadash, the Aruch HaShulchan, and essentially what happened is they had a bad girsa, and that's why the Shach had to ask this question on the Shulchan Aruch. Yeah.
So you already bought it. We said that if you already bought it, you can have it keep flipping back and forth since you're allowed to do, say, business with the bread. So even when you're on a shisha, it'll flip back and forth. The question is in regards to whether you're allowed to eat it.
Why would it? Yes. Could you do business with it? Correct. But I'm saying if you're going to be eating it, it can't be that on Monday the bread was usher to eat, and then on Tuesday, it was mutter to eat. It makes no sense. So therefore, he has to come on to say that the girsa was certainly wrong. If you want to see the whole explanation of the girsa, look in Yabi Omer Chelik Vav Simen Dalid, where he explains the whole girsa and how everything fits together. Next, what if the pas paltzer is better than the pas Yisrael? Okay, you like the bread from this Goyish bakery more than the bread from the Jewish bakery. So the Mechaber says that if the bread of the guy is much better or different than the bread of the Jew, so then it's mutter to buy the pas paltzer. The Chalkos Binyamin says that it has to be better in taste or appearance. Because the Levush says yafa. So yafa can't mean taste. Yafa is a description of the beauty of something. And therefore, even if it looks better, that would be sufficient in order to buy the pas paltzer instead of the pas Yisrael if it's better in quality. Now, the pre-Torah in Sif Katan Zayin says that better means the quality of the bread is better. Not simply that it gives you additional pleasure. So it's a very fine line. What does that mean? That the quality isn't better, but it gives you additional pleasure. So the Chalkos Binyamin says in Sif Katan Memches that this means it's more filling or it's easier to eat. It's better for you. There's a substantial difference. But If it's just that it tastes a little bit better, has a little bit more of a geschmack taste, it's softer, whatever it is, that's not sufficient. It has to be qualitatively better. It's better for you, it's more filling, something of that regard. Not just that it has a little bit of a nicer taste to allow it. He says that this is certainly, though, the not the sheet of the poskim. This is a sheet of the pritawar. And the Chalkas Ben Yamin concludes that the sheet of the poskim is even if the one bread is squishier and you like that better than the pasta straw, so that's enough of a reason to buy it. Yeah.
Is even according to all the sheets, as we quoted before, that are in general not Miriam Paspalter?
Okay, everything we're saying past Sif Beis and Shulchan Aruch here assumes that we're being machmer for, that we're being makel that we're being machmer, right? If you're being makel on pas palter, so then the rest of Kuf Yud Beis is not nogeya to you. You can move on to Simon Kuf Yud Gimel. But if a person's going to be machmer, so then all these halachas are going to come into play. Yeah.
What if the pas yisrael costs a few more
dollars? So we'll discuss price in a second. Yeah.
What about like Stolar products now that, let's say, healthier, that only Arnold makes them, but like,
yeah,
let's say
Pastor
Brand doesn't make them,
that's their
quality.
I would say, according to Pritawar, that would be, yeah, that would be correct. If it's if it makes you healthier, better, filler, whatever it may be, so certainly that would apply according to the Pritawar. What if the Pas Palter is cheaper than the Pas Yisrael? Everyone likes a good deal. So Rav Yashiv is quoted in the Sefer Bishul Yisrael on page Yud Zayin, and Rav Moshe is also quoted in the Masoris Moshe, in Yerodea Simon Samach Aleph, and the Chalkos Ben Yamin Sifkata Nun Aleph all say that price is not sufficient in order to allow Pas Yisrael instead of Pas Akum, as long as the higher price is reasonable. That obviously is up to one's judgment. If it's a dollar, that's reasonable. If it's $10, $15, so then maybe there's what's to discuss that it's not reasonable anymore. Only if it's yafa in the guf, they explain. Nobody talks about anything about price. It means to be yafa in the guf. The physical bread needs to be better, and not just the price. And that would also be an afkamina regarding the distance to go and get the bread. If you have to travel further, so then also you'd have to travel further, because that's part of price or tircha. It has to be a difference in the guf of the bread itself in order to allow it. The last issue we need to discuss is the... Yeah?
If we're putting distance in regards to yafa, so then wouldn't that also get rid of matzui?
No. I mean, there's a difference between distance, like it's 5 minutes to the store versus 7 minutes to the store versus I have to travel, you know, half a day, or I have to travel... That's to be, meaning, if both are equally there, but it's just a few minutes more, that's not enough of a reason. Okay, the last issue discussed here in Vav, in Sif Vav, is the issue with the egg on top and the egg wash. So the Shulchan Aruch says that in a place where they make pas palter, it's mutter to use eggs in the dough and on the dough, and there's no issue of bishul akum. And the Taz understands that the eggs are mutter in the bread because they're batel to the bread. The egg, I care about the bread, I don't care about the eggs. And the Pritoar is lenient like the Mechaber, as the Abnezer in Yerodea Simon Sari Dalad. And Rav Shechter also thinks that the Abnezer is correct. And it's only a Midas Chasidus to avoid such foods out of respect from the Ramah. This is a big, Rav Shechter likes to talk about this, that the idea of having a Midas Chasidus, a Chumrah, that we do it out of kavod to the other Shitas and the Rishonim. Not because we necessarily think they're correct, but because we have a kavod for the other Shitas. So out of kavod to the Ramah, there's an inyan maybe to be machmer. So the Ramah says that the bread has eggs on top of it, then there's a problem of Bishul Akum, and this is the sheet of the Levush and the Kitzel Shulchan Aruch as well, in Simon Lamed Ches. Now, what's so that's the question. What's going on over here? What's the deal with egg glaze and egg wash versus mamish eggs on top? So if you look at the Gra in Sifkat and Yudalad, he says V'svara harishona sfirala kevin she'eno ella lemara chazusa lav milsa. And he says because you can't really, it's just a little bit of appearance on top of the bread, and that's not considered sufficient, according to the Mechaber. And the Ramah is Machmer. So the Gra understands, and the Prichadosh understand, that the Mechaber and the Ramah are arguing about an egg wash on top of the bread. That, as the Aruch HaShulchan says, like we do for the Chals and Erev Shabbos, this is what we're talking about. Only a glaze. That's the machlokas. This is an understanding of the chalkas binyamin as well. Now, the Aruch HaShulchan has a big chiddush. The Aruch HaShulchan says in Sif Chaf Aleph that even the Ramah would allow an egg wash, and that the whole machlokas is only talking about mamish egg. I don't exactly know what it is. Like, they made like scrambled eggs and they put it on top of bread. I'm not exactly sure what they did, but that is the machlokas, and that even the Ramah would be lenient regarding an egg wash. And the Minchas Yitzchak says that there's no mamashis in the egg wash, and therefore there's no bishul akum as well. And I have to say, pashtus, I don't think the Aruch HaShulchan is correct. It doesn't seem to be what, I don't know. It's not sure what they're talking about. But Rav Shachter thinks that the entire discussion is about an egg on top of bread is a chumrah in the first place. So egg wash on top of that is even bigger chumrah. And I think the minig is not to be machmer. In the bakeries, I don't know if they make sure only a Jew puts the egg wash on top of the challahs. I don't know. I'm not sure. But it seems to be a big chumrah regarding egg wash. Yeah.
So if there was a boy egg
Well, bloody eggs are different. Bloody eggs, nowadays, our eggs are not fertilized. There's no way, if you buy an egg in the store, it is physically impossible for that egg to ever turn into a chicken. And the blood spots that are found there are not because of possible fertilization turning into a chick, but more because of a deficiency in how the egg formed. So for that reason, Rav Moshe says that, Mikra Adin, we don't need to be careful about blood spots nowadays, but the minog is to check and to be machmer. So Rav Moshe says, if you have an egg that falls into your dough, and you see a little bit of blood there, so you just scoop it out, and you can have the eggs be in there, that's fine. But regarding this issue, and there's no reason to be chumrah on top of a chumrah to be worried about the blood spots in that area. Okay, stop here.